All right, joining us right now is our guy Justin Turpin from WEEI.com. Turp, what a day for the Celtics, huh?
What a day is right. I mean, foolish of us to think that it was going to be an easy day heading into the 4th of July.
Nope. We are got a lot going on. I don't even know where to start. Let's start with the biggest overall news of the day is that the team is for sale. And Wick Grosbeck, who's been the majority owner for 20-plus years, and everybody in town thinks is the best owner of the four major sports, was talking about he's going to get paid in duck boats. Well, they have a duck boat parade. A couple days later, he puts them up for sale. Were you as surprised as I was, or had you heard sort of some rumblings that this could happen?
I don't think anyone saw this coming. I think it really came out of nowhere. And Wick has been asked in the past about if he had any intention of selling the team or anything like that, and his answer was always the team's not for sale. But obviously, with the new television deal, the new CBA, all the luxury tax and whatever they're going to be paying, and obviously just the value of the franchise now is at its all-time high. I mean, you got the franchise for, what, $360 million in 2002 up to $4.7 billion now. So it's a smart business decision, but I think it really caught everyone off guard.
Yeah, I mean, what does it say about the league where in the same basically year, Mark Cuban and Wick Grosbeck, two of the more well-respected, successful owners in the league, are both saying, we want out. We want out of this game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's saying something about the punishments of trying to build a good team. Maybe people or the owners are just kind of getting out while they can, while they're getting still good. Maybe that's what it is. But it is kind of shocking, especially a guy like Wick, who, like we said, was just really, well, they had no interest in selling the team whatsoever. And then this kind of comes along and really a surprise to everybody.
Now, I mean, the good news for Celtics fans is they have re-signed everybody. So, like, no matter they sell the team to, and even if they come in, like, all these guys are everybody of value is under contract going forward. So even though there's going to be turnover at the top, as of right now, this roster is locked and loaded.
Right. You have at least your starting five through the 25-26 season, and you got your top nine through all of next season. So all they can really focus on is 1 year at a time, because once you get past next year, those repeat offender for the luxury tax, those taxes are tough. So I think no matter who's in charge of the team then, whoever's calling the shots up top in the ownership level, they're going to have decisions to make. And that's kind of what I worry about for this new guy coming in, whoever it may be. They're going to have some tough decisions to make, and automatically you're going to come in as a new owner, and you're going to have to move one of the key pieces on this team or not have. You're going to have to opt to not re-sign them, because that's just how bad the tax fines are, and they get worse and worse each year. So whoever is coming in, one's coming under sky-high expectations, because obviously Wick sold out on this team and that brought him a championship this year, and that's going to kind of be the expectation for whoever takes over this ownership role, and we'll see what happens. But like you said, next year they're all locked up, and for the starters, you're looking at through the 25-26 season.
Well, there's also, speaking of moves, there's some reports out there that, you know, depending on who they sell the team to, they might decide to leave TD Garden, which they do not own, and maybe build their own facility. Like, what are your thoughts on after all these years, we might be looking at the Celtics and Bruins no longer in the same building?
I'd be so bummed out, because even the players talk about it, how it's the best atmosphere in basketball. But my mind immediately went towards, like, gambling. And if there's one of these guys that maybe have stake in some casino, one of the higher-ups there want to build a stadium closer to there, because gambling's a go in Massachusetts. So maybe they try to bring it that way. And obviously, like you said, they don't own the TD Garden, so that complicates things. And you do think if there's a new owner, maybe they do want their own stadium. But I think everyone would be pretty bummed, because it's always been a thing, right? Celtics and Bruins always sharing the Garden. It's one of the best atmospheres in the NBA. So it's going to be a bummer if that does happen. So I'm really hoping it doesn't. But like I said, my mind immediately went towards gambling, and see if something like that plays a role.
We're talking with Justin Turpin, who covers the C's for WEEI.com. And, you know, Tatum going into the playoffs had already been first team All-NBA three consecutive years. Everybody knew he was going to sign this contract. He was eligible to sign it. He was going to sign it. So it's not a surprise that he signed it. But how much does it help him that it's coming off of a title versus if he was, headline across every, sports outlet being like highest paid basketball player in league history and they lost in the finals? Like, I just feel like the timing couldn't have been better for Tatum.
100%, especially when you're talking about a guy like Jason Tatum who gets cut no slack, no matter what. Like, this guy led this team in points, rebounds, and assists, but he doesn't win finals MVP, so people are finding a way to point the negative like that. Even when he's losing, people are winning the championship. People are trying to find different ways to attack his game, attack his character. This guy just is always under fire. So for it to come off a title year, you're absolutely right. That does wonders for him. And you could see, and obviously we haven't seen him on the court since then, but just the way he's carried himself since winning that championship, where he's just seemed so much more confident, right? He's not afraid to express how he is and how he feels. And that means a lot. I think that tells a lot, because for years, I think he's been a little bit more timid, right? He's not one that really wants to face the microphones and all that. And credit to him. I mean, how somebody wants to hate on a guy who just wants to show up and play basketball has always been beside me, especially when he's pretty damn good at it. Mm-hmm. But I think it does go a long way, especially coming off that championship year, for his confidence and just for the outside noise.
Well, and, you know, and even though Tatum's contract wasn't a surprise, and maybe Derek White's really shouldn't have been, if they were going to look to save some money, like, it feels like that's the one where you're like, all right, like, this team's really good. Like, Tatum and Brown and Porzingis and Holiday, like, that team's going to go pretty far. And, like, they could have made Derek White play it out one more year and then see what happens. But thankfully, they locked him up, because, I mean, he's the ultimate glue guy. He made so many big plays come playoff time. But the other two are much bigger stories, obviously, but getting Derek White back is sneaky, tremendous news.
Isn't it fitting that Derek White finally gets recognized? He finally gets what he deserves, and it's overshadowed.
For 10 minutes. Like, hey, Derek White. It's like, oh, wait a minute, the team's for sale.
Come on, poor guy.
I know. I don't think you'd want it any other way, though. I mean, that's probably.
I'd agree. I think it's like it's a staple now. He's embracing it. Like, of course that happens to Derek White. Part mm-hmm. of me feels bad, but it's like, all right, you know what? He probably wants it like that. He wouldn't want it any other way.
Mm-hmm. It's been a busy day in the NBA, busy couple of days, and you know, prior to all the Celtics news of the day, I was thinking we were going to spend a lot of time on the new 76ers as they re-sign Tyrese Maxey, but they bring in Paul George, so he leaves the Clippers. He goes to his fourth team. He is 34 years old, but I still think he's a great player. What do you make of the trio and the team now in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I like what the Sixers are doing. I mean, they've undoubtedly gotten better, bringing in Andre Drummond, Eric Gordon. They bring back Kelly Oubre, and obviously they get Jerry McCain in the draft. But we've seen the Sixers go for these big swings, right? Guys like Paul George. They did it with Ben Simmons. They did it with James Harden. They did it with Jimmy Butler. Hell, they even did it with Al Horford, and it hasn't worked. It's never worked for them. And now, like you said, Paul George getting a little bit older. He doesn't have to be the main guy anymore, right? He's going to be kind of a complimentary guy to Joel Embiid and to Tyrese Maxey. But the first thing that I went to when looking at that team is their health. I mean, you saw Joel Embiid has had his struggles staying healthy. Paul George as well. I know he played 76 games last year, but that was the first time he played more than 56 since the 2018-19 season. So the guys, it's a problem of you can't win games if your stars aren't on the floor. We saw that with Embiid last year when he was not on the floor. They were a completely different team, and they weren't as good, obviously, because you're missing your best player. So I'd be worried about that a little bit, but I do think like that is a great top three. I mean, that's a great trio you've got there, but I just don't know, because you got that Celtics team looking back, and they've got a top six. So it makes a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think the it might be the best three. I mean, we're going to see how they play together, because I think, you know, Giannis and Lillard, we assumed, or many of us thought that was the best duo, and then that didn't really work out. The Splash Brothers era is over. Klay Thompson goes to the Mavericks. Now, Klay Thompson, kind of a shell of his former self, but if he's playing with Luka and Kyrie and is just standing on the outside and doing catch-and-shoot threes, you think that could work?
I think this could be a perfect revival for him. It did look weird, though. Did you see the Photoshop of him in the Mavericks jersey? It looked so weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because you're so used to it being him being in Golden State. But you're right. I think if he just is able to just be a shooter, right, he's not going to be as taxed anymore, because they've got guys like Kyrie and Luka who carry almost their entire offense. We talked about it throughout the entire NBA Finals. Just it's Kyrie, Luka with all their shot attempts, and then there's a significant drop-off. And this could be a good opportunity for Klay Thompson to kind of revive his career. And I wonder if that's why he took a little bit less, because he had a higher offer with the Lakers, is what was reported, and he took less to go to Dallas. Maybe he saw that as a better opportunity to kind of revive himself and maybe even to compete. Obviously, Dallas was just in the finals, and maybe he looked at it that way. But yeah, I think this is a good landing spot for him.
Still some moves to be made, obviously. But as it stands right now, who do you think is the toughest competition in the East, and who do you think is the best team in the West?
I'm going to go with the Knicks in the East. I really do. And granted, we'll see how Tom Thibodeau manages those minutes. We know the kind of reputation he gets, but that team's really talented. And we don't know. I think Philadelphia has a really good squad, but we know what this Knicks team is capable of because we've seen them do it last year. We've seen them do it in Villanova. Granted, that was a while ago.
Right.
And you know, we haven't seen Philly do it just yet because you have all these super teams and it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work. I look at even the most recent example with Phoenix last year, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, they couldn't stay healthy, which is a big problem and an area of concern with this Philadelphia team.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think right now it's the Knicks. And then for the West, the best team in the West, you can't say Denver anymore. I mean, you lose Bruce Brown, and then this year you lose KCP. That's just two brutal blows. And then their bench really isn't that deep. So I look at OKC. I think they've had a really good free agency, and obviously that was a good team last year. So, and they're only young, and they have plenty of more assets that they can move for whatever if they want to. So I look at OKC as the toughest team in the West, and the Knicks the second best in the East.
Last thing for you, Terp. I haven't talked to you since the draft. And we got the first round pick in the Brad Stevens era, and then they also added a big man in the second round. What was your takeaway from those two guys?
Yeah, I think Baylor Shireman's going to be good. I talked to his head coach, Greg McDermott from Creighton. I put an article up at WEI.com, and he really sung high praise for him. Obviously, every coach is going to do that, but he didn't seem too worried about the athleticism. He wasn't worried about the defense, and he seems born for Missoula ball, right? He's a great rebounder and can shoot the lights out from three. So a lot of the teams are looking for these wings. If you look at the moves being made around the league, it seems like obviously big men are always the priority, but wings are really what people are looking for. So you bring in a wing like Baylor Shireman, I like it. I think he's going to fit in well, and we'll see. Like we said, we have the Celtics at the top nine of their rotation back for next year. So we'll see. Playing time is going to be hard to come by, but I like the Shireman pick. So I think there's some promise there.
All right, there you go. It's Justin Turpin. You can check out all his stuff, WEI.com. And I guess the next thing for you, Turpin, you got to chase down who this next owner is, and then that's going to be the big scoop. Yeah.
That's pretty much all it is. We'll see what happens with Xavier Tillman, but other than that, it's who is going to be the next owner. Who's going to be cutting these checks? Pretty important question.
It sure is. All right, Turpin, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Thanks, Keith.